Deuteronomy 31. We begin at verse 1, these words. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I'm no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you, so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head, as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the son of Levi, who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them at the end of every 7 years, at the set time in the year of release, at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and little ones, and the sojourner within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God and be careful to do all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tent of meeting, that I may commission him. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tent of meeting. And the Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood over the entrance of the tent. And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers. Then this people will rise and whore after the foreign gods among them in the land that they are entering. And they will forsake me and break my commandment that I have made with them. And my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they will be devoured. And many evils and troubles will come upon them, so that they will say in that day, Have not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil that they have done, because they have turned to other gods. Now therefore write this song and teach it to the people of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the people of Israel. For when I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to give to their fathers, and they have eaten and are full and grown fat, they will turn to other gods and serve them and despise me and break my covenant. And when many evils and troubles have come upon them, this song shall confront them as a witness, for it will live unforgotten in the mouths of their offspring. For I know what they are inclined to do even today, before I have brought them into the land that I swore to give. So Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the people of Israel. And the Lord commissioned Joshua the son of Nun and said, Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you. When Moses had finished writing the words of this law in a book to the very end, Moses commanded the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, take this book of the law and put it by the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against you. For I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. Behold, even today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? Assemble to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death, you will act corruptly and turn aside from the way that I have commanded you. And in the days to come, evil will befall you, because you will do what is evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger through the work of your hands. This is God's holy and infallible word. As we come to chapter 31, we're confronted immediately with the fact that Moses will die. He had come to that ripe old age of 120 years old, and of it he says, "I am no longer able to go out and come in." It's an expression that merely means that he's gotten weak and he is old, and he knows that his body is telling him he is about to die. And of course, the Lord told him as well. So they are about to lose their leader, the whole company of Israel. They're at this journey. They had come out of Egypt with the mighty hand of God, delivering them from Pharaoh, brought them across the Red Sea on dry land, brought them into the land that they wandered in for 40 years. But now they are at the very entrance of the promised land. And you would think that they would be eager to go in and that they would be ready to go. And what we find is that this is a point of great transition. They're going to lose their leader, the one who was the father of the nation, the one that they had looked up to for all of these years. And in the midst of this, they get a message from God through Moses, who says, though he is going to die, Moses says it twice, the Lord says, be strong and courageous, do not fear. It is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Moses is going to die. The duties that he had once done, he cannot do any longer, and he will not enter the promised land, we know, because of his sin. And so Moses is going to die, but the promise in this passage over and over again, even though it is full of this discussion that God gives about their eventual sin against the Lord, it is still the message that God is with his people. And while Moses is about to leave, that doesn't change anything. God didn't leave. God will not forsake them. And because God would not forsake his people, the message and the mission of the group will not change. He is going to carry the people into the promised land. He is going to carry his church into the place of success. They are going to go into the promised land. And today the church moves forward, and it moves forward based not upon how strong it is, how big it is, how powerful it is, how wonderful the people are, but the message of the gospel goes through the church. And it is the church and its mission that stays the same, which is faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not because of who preaches it, but because of the power of the word. And the message is the ministry that God has given to the church. And the church in Israel's day and the church today is the church that needs to stay put, as it were, to stay with the mission that God has given it, to tell the world that there is a savior of sinners. And we see that here in this passage. Go into the promised land. God is going to deliver it over into your hands. God is going to defeat the enemy. He's going to hand you the promised land. It's going to be a gift that he gives you. You aren't going to have to do anything. God is going to deliver it into your hand. And so Moses here reminds Israel that God is going before them, and they are going forward with the promise of God that he will never leave them. He will never forsake them. He is there, he is faithful, and he will also be faithful to the very end. Now, not only is Moses going to die, but this is the transition part of Deuteronomy, where we have come to that point of transition and leadership. Who's going to lead after Moses? It's Joshua. And so God commands Moses to bring Joshua into the tent, and they are brought into the tent, and God commissions Joshua to enter this battle, to lead the people of Israel, just as Moses led the people of Israel. And what is God's word to him? God's word to him is that he is with him. He is not going to forsake them. He is going to be there. He is going to be with Joshua in all that he does. And God and Moses reminds the people of Israel when this transition takes place, don't forget your history. In verse 4, he says, the Lord is going to be with you, and remember what the Lord did to Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, and to their land. What did he do? It says right here, he destroyed them. He destroyed God's enemies. Remember your history. Remember that the Lord gave you victory over your enemy. Remember that your strength and your ability doesn't come from yourselves. It comes from a sovereign God. And that message of the sovereignty of God is throughout this entire chapter, throughout the entire book, a message that resonates with the truth of the Word of God that continues today, that reminds us, even as Christians, that it's not how big your church is, it's not that you have the best church, the church that makes people happy, because today, of course, people join churches with the attitude of consumers, right? It's a consumer-driven market today for many churches. What do you get in the mail from the churches? Big postcards, and they're all wonderfully made up because they're consumer-oriented. They're trying to reach people with some message, and whatever that message may be, often it's not the message of the direct preaching of the gospel, but it's what makes people happy. Are we supposed to go to church as people who are happy that we're at the particular church that we're at? Is it because that church does things the way we want the church to do it? When did comfort become a factor that determines the obedience of Christians to the Word of God? It never did. It did when you moved away from the biblical approach to life, obeying the Scripture. But comfort is not something that we are to look for in a church. In fact, in the old days, it used to be said, it's only when the minister steps on your toes that the preaching of the word has really been preached. You know, and people would go home and the old Dutchman would say, yeah, he stepped on my toes. You know, he really, what is he saying? He spoke God's word to my heart and it ministered to me. That's what we need today, a preaching of God's word. We don't need a church that makes people happy. We need a church that brings people to the hearing of God's word so that they may hear it and obey it and glorify God because of it. And that's what Moses is preaching here to the people of Israel. And he's preaching to the people of Israel and he says, and God's going to be there. Verse 6 says, he's going to be there. He will not forsake you. In fact, he's going to go forward in front of you, and you're going to be victorious when you go into the land. And when they went into battle, that's what they needed to believe. In battle, they didn't need to worry about checking their armor out. You know, am I completely covered? What if an arrow comes? I've got my shield. All of these things. They should do that if they needed it and if they had them. But when they went into battle, all that they needed to really know was this. The Lord said, I will never forsake you. He promised Israel the land. He promised them victory. That should have been the truth that undergirded them when they went forward into the land of promise. We go forward into the land of promise. Why? Because God said go, and he's in our midst. And we serve the same God. The same God who promised Israel victory in Canaan is the same God whose promise and purpose is revealed to us in Holy Scripture, the one who ordains all things, controls all things, directs all things for the purpose of his glory, is the God who is present in the lives of his people. Do you take that home into your hearts and lives, into your trials, into your temptations? Knowing even in the midst of your struggle, as you think of it, you have to put aside the pain, you have to put aside the hurt, and you have to focus on what? The promise that God said he will never leave us or forsake us. He will always be faithful to his promise forever and forever and forever. And in the midst of our struggle, that's the greatest medicine that there is. That's the greatest blessing that we could come across, to know that God is there and he will never forsake us. Spurgeon said, as the hymn writer put it, He will never forsake us. The Lord of hosts is with us. What ground can there be for fear? There's no danger, there's no trouble, there's no difficulty through which and out of which we can come, except by faith we grasp the truth that God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's always faithful. And that's what Moses is preaching and proclaiming to the people of God as he is about to die. He's laying out the whole word of God for the people to review. And when they're all gathered together in the future at the Feast of Booths, what are they to do then? They're to read the word of God. And they're going to hear the word of God that declares God's faithfulness. They're going to hear the word of God that says God will never leave you or forsake you. And they're going to hear the word of God that says, do this and honor God who is always faithful to his promise. And verse 12 says that, be faithful to do all the words of this law. That's the promise that God has given through Moses in this passage. Moses will die, Israel will enter the land. But then God goes on in verse 14 and he says to Moses, they will be unfaithful, they will break the covenant, they will follow other gods, they will be forsaken by God and endure many hardships and troubles. And God will even do what? It says in our passage, he will hide his face from them in that day. There would come a day when God would hide his face from his unfaithful people. But it was not forever. It was not absolute. And we see that in the prophecy of Isaiah in one chapter, chapter 12. At the end of that chapter, he says, Israel is like a tree cut down, and all that's left is a stump. But what's coming out of that stump? Just a small growth. And it's that growth that would come and spread and expand and become the kingdom of God. It's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a prophecy of God's gospel. The tree was gone, but not completely. The tree of Israel would spring forth with one who would come and be the savior of sinners. And ultimately, God would bring his face and the light of his grace to shine upon his people in the glory of the savior. Yes, in due time, the people would go, as verse 16 says, whoring after other gods, strangers of the land. The word to go whoring after other gods refers to apostasy. It's involvement with a false faith. It also refers to the basic fact that they were involved with the radical paganism of the day in which they lived. The day in which they lived was a day of paganism where there were sexual rites, practices that took place even in the church, and they were incorporated into the church. Every perverse sexual act that had been a part of that group was an affirmation against the supernatural power of God, a denial of God, and that would take place. But God says through Moses, this is what is going to happen. The people are going to go astray. And then he tells Moses, write a song. We're going to see that song as we look at it in the next chapter, the Lord willing, when we come to chapter 32. But he says, write the song. And this song is going to be a song that you're going to teach to the people of Israel. He's commanded to write a song, and the song is to be a living witness to the people, a witness against the people and their sin. And the song will condemn their infidelities. And as I thought about, you know, the song, and it was to be a song that they were to learn. It would be a song that they would almost be able to sing. In fact, you and I would sing if somebody would strike up the music and start singing Amazing Grace. Wouldn't most of us be able to sing that song? Most of us know that song. You should know the extra verses in it. They're super. But most of us know at least four verses of that song. We know it because it's in our minds. It's there. It's a testimony to God's great faith. faithfulness. It's a wonderful song. The song of Moses is going to be a song of God's faithfulness and his power and his love, but it's also going to be a song that condemns the infidelity, condemns the sin, condemns the faithlessness of God's people. And God commands Moses to write that song so that the song will be there. It'll be just like our song, Amazing Grace, is so familiar to us. It'll be a song that the children will know. It'll be a song that the older children will know. It'll be a song that when they hear it, it will remind them of God's faithfulness and their inability to do what pleases God. This is the song that is going to teach them of God's faithfulness, and he commands Moses to sing it. And he commands Moses to write this song so that it may be a continuous testimony of the fact that there is no way that you can escape God. That's really what the song is all about. God is present. That this is going to be true even though they go through all of the things that verses 14 and 15 and 16, his anger is kindled against them. Verse 18, I will hide my face from them in that day. All of this, he says, will be reflected in the song, and that song will remind them. Teach it to Israel, verse 19 says, put it in their mouths that it may be a witness for me against the people of Israel. It will be a song that always condemns them for their failure to obey the word of God, because you cannot escape God. There is not one thing that you can do in this world to escape God. Today we have a lot of people think that you can have, you know, areas of your life that are neutral, as it were, that are not under any authority. That you can, you know, go to church, that's the spiritual part, but when you go home, now you just go on with your life. No, all of life is under the authority of God, and you cannot escape God. Remember the psalmist in Psalm 103. He says, even if I could run away and go to the Sheol, the place of the dead, God is there. Now, I don't know his presence if I'm there, because he hides his presence from those who are in Sheol. But God is present everywhere. God is the God that you cannot escape from. He's closer to us than we are to ourselves. He knows us better than what we want to know about ourselves. God is present, and that's what this song will teach. And when we look at the song, the Lord willing, we will see that testimony come true. But then immediately, verse 23, the Lord commissions Joshua, the son of Nun, and he gives Joshua, the son of Nun, because of course this is the chapter where things are changing from Moses to Joshua, and he speaks to Joshua. What does he say to Joshua? The same thing Moses said to Israel. The sovereign presence of God would attend Joshua. Can you imagine having to take over Moses' position? You know, think of it for a moment. Moses led how many hundreds of thousands of people at this point across the desert and through all of these things, provided water from the rock. The bread from heaven came from God. All of their needs were met. One of my favorite passages, as I've said before, is Moses was recording all of these things in the previous verses of Deuteronomy, and he said, you know, you went through the desert for 40 years and your shoes didn't stink. You know, you had shoes that lasted for 40 years. You know, no shoe stores in the wilderness. your coat was fine. You know, where did they go to get their coats cleaned? No place in the wilderness to go and get your coat cleaned. But God kept them fresh. God kept them through the wilderness. Moses was the great leader. When things came up, they brought it to Moses. He set up this system of those who would hear complaints. Moses was the great leader. He's about to die. What are we going to do now? Wouldn't that be the first thing we would say? But God had known all along what we were going to do, and he ordains it. Moses brings Joshua into the tent. He comes into the tent and he says to Joshua, Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to them. Now, he didn't stop there, did he? Be strong. This is the big job you're going to do. Who could possibly do that job? I'll tell you who could do that job. The person that hears these words. I will be with you. You can do anything God commands you to do, because God is present. He declared that he was present with Joshua. And so when Joshua would become the leader, he would be strengthened in the knowledge that God is with him. His leadership may have been a time for him to be lonely and difficult, but in those moments of loneliness and difficulty, he had to remind himself that God said, I will be with you. And God speaks his divine appointment. He's in control. He is the one who is declaring to Joshua that he is to go and lead. He is the one who says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Remember the hymn writer that says this in one of the stanzas of the hymn, the soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. That repeated emphasis in that hymn means that God will never forsake his people, and he will never forsake you or me. A child of God who by grace rests in the strength of God's truth in his word, he will never forsake his people. We may go through trials, we may go through temptations, we may go through difficult hours. Joshua would, Moses did. They would all be reflected in the truth of Scripture, and Scripture tells us that we're going to have these trials and we're going to have these temptations. But what does Scripture also say? God says, I will be with you. I will be with you. You need to remember those words. I will be with you. Who said that? The Lord, sovereign over all things, who commanded that Joshua now take up the role of Moses and lead God's people. Enter the promised land. It will be conquered. You will lead. And God has ordained it all. He is the one who has ordained all these things. We don't rely upon our ability. We rely upon God's eternal word. He is present. He is there. His purpose in all things is going to be fulfilled because his word cannot fail. And that's what this passage is all about. God's word cannot, it will not fail. That's why God gives this word to Moses and then to Aaron and to the people of God and to you and to me. We have in our lives the ability to become downhearted. We have so much that faces us. Our trust sometimes is not what it should be, but we must not trust our own imagination. We must not trust in our own ability, in our own discipline. We must rest in the covenanted word of God. The word of God that we hear, receive in this passage that says God will never forsake his people. And we need to be reminded of that even today as believers in Jesus Christ. Whatever we face, we can go through it because Christ is present. He is Lord. He is the one that's sovereign over all things, and we rest in his unfathomable grace. So no matter what comes to you tomorrow, today or tomorrow, no matter what comes to you next week, next month, no matter what it is, God is present with you if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if God is present with you, like Moses and like Joshua, you can go forward and the victory is yours. The strength is God's, the power is God's, but the victory is yours in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, because God is present. And we need to be reminded of that presence, that power, that grace, and the love of God in Jesus Christ for us as we live under his word to serve him and to obey him and to do what he has commanded. May God give you that grace and strength today. Amen.